Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 101. Amazing. And in this show, we're going to be talking about something that I'm very enthusiastic about. I do have my moments when I'm not, but I'm pretty consistently still love it in a way. It's a love-hate relationship. And that's podcasting. And I think podcasting has had its ups and downs. It's definitely, at the present moment, escalating. It's going up again, but it has these ups and downs. I've kept with it. I think it's a great way of building a audience for your membership website, building influence, building your own tribe, as I say. And I've got some great, we're going to go into the strategy in the first half, some of the most important things that you've got to think about that will help you not do what is called pod fading. And I will tell you what pod fading is. And in the second half, we'll go into the mechanics, some of the equipment that I feel offers the best value. And if you're beginning, will help you build your podcast. And as you grow, the equipment still will be effective. I've got my great co-host with me, my regular co-host on my little team. I've got Kirk with me. Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Jonathan. My name's Kurt Von Onen. I run an agency called Mañana No Más. Coincidentally, we have a podcast called the Mañana No Más podcast. And we work with membership and learning websites and directly with WP Tonic and the folks at Lifter LMS.
That's great. He's a great member of the team. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this excellent episode, I've got a major message from one of our sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
I'm coming back, folks. I'd like to point out, we've got some great special offers from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services that will help you build your membership or community website on WordPress. It will save you a load of time and aggravation. You can get these special offers and this list, this free list, by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you get all the goodies there. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. So let's go straight into it. I never did any of this. I want to point out, folks, I never did any of this strategy. I had not a close friend, but somebody I knew. They wanted to do a podcast. They were my co-host for the first 100 episodes of my other podcast, which is up to, I think, over 940 podcasts there. And that was almost 8 years ago. He faded out. He left about 100 in. But he was the one that, he said, oh, let's do a podcast about WordPress, right? And he would edit the podcast and he would put it up. I would have to just find the topics. And I said yes to it, but there was absolutely no planning, folks. I didn't even have a target audience. It was only about the start of this podcast. and the start of my, I did a pivot and I went into learning management and membership. Before that, it was just a general WordPress developer kind of agency. So there was no planning, folks, and that's a problem. What do you reckon, Kirk? That's a problem, isn't it?
It is the problem, and I'm really glad that we decided to tackle this topic today because, like yourself, when I started podcasting, I was trapped in Southern California, and if I took the car to work, I knew I was going to be in the car for an hour and a half sitting on the highway. So I just started playing with podcast tools and like just recording concepts and ideas in the car. I really didn't think that people were going to listen. It was more like an exercise for myself. And over time, that, you know, morphed itself into the Mañana No Más podcast. So mine was kind of accidental as well.
And not having a focus audience, not, we've discussed this endlessly during this podcast over the 100 episodes. Find your niche. Find out as much as possible about your niche. Being the expert, having all this knowledge is great, and you'll be able to help people, but you've got to find a niche in this industry that you're focused on, or this subject, and then you've got to really understand as much as possible about that audience. Would you agree with that?
More than agree with it. It's become a real driver for me. I mean, there's been, now I'm more and more focused in my production quality. And when I look at the planning, Jonathan, it's not like someone will say, oh, hey, I got this idea. Maybe I could be on your show. If it's not the right fit, if it doesn't fit the audience, if it's, then the answer is no. I mean, it's just not. And I'll refer them to other shows or whatever. You have to, and this sounds harsh, but there comes a time where if you take it serious and you want to succeed and grow within the strategy you've picked for yourself, you have to make decisions along the way and be focused.
Yep. So I'll put things back to front. I've already started about finding a target audience, but I jumped one topic, which is podfading. I mentioned it in the introduction. This is a term almost 80% of people that start a podcast, they stop doing the podcast in less or up to 10 episodes, and then they stop. And that covers about 80%. I think there's an enormous amount of podcasts out there. I think there's over a million, but almost 80% of them only did less or only 10 episodes, and they stopped. So an enormous amount of those million plus podcasts are not active, and they did less or up to 10 podcasts. Are you surprised by that, Kurt?
I'm surprised it was only 10. I remember, you know, when you were on my show, we made a quip about that. And, you know, and you said, oh, yeah, well, congratulations, you're at 100 episodes when a lot of people never get over 10. And I thought 10 was low. But then I remembered, let's talk about regular business. How many people start a business and follow through and do it? It's hard work. And I think people get in and the first couple episodes are easy because you think you've got all these great ideas. And then after you talk about things for a few hours, you realize, oh, crud, I've got to do some planning. I've got to do some research. I've got to, put work in order to get a sample out. And I think that's where we see a lot of people drop off.
Yeah. It is quite surprising when you, I looked at these figures about a year ago. I didn't, when I was planning to do this particular episode, I didn't really look at them. I haven't at the time, but I don't imagine they've changed much. I would imagine it got worse, actually. So, who's this podcast for? Finding the target audience. What are going to be the key topics? You know, you can't, though I feel sometimes we repeat ourselves on these podcasts, but I don't think it's true. I think we've managed to have a diverse amount of topics, but there are some key themes that we keep touching on. And I don't think there's a problem with that because the key themes that we keep are really important, and a lot, I, by joining Zoom masterminds, the Lifter LMS mastermind, joining other groups, I see the same mistakes and the same topics coming up all the time. Would you agree with that, Kurt?
Yeah, and it's going to be a cycle that never stops, you know, honestly, because as more people enter into a marketplace or enter into a circle, those same fresh, needs always resurface. And just like sports, just like athletics, we have to master the basics. We have to get back to basic principles and founding points before we can go off and do fancy, wonderful things.
Yeah, especially with WordPress, folks, because with a SaaS, software as a service, like Kajabi, like Podio, like the dozen other ones that are in this sector, you have no choice. You just have to adapt your business model and your membership, your community to what they offer. With WordPress, it's great, one of its great strengths, but it's also one of its great curses, is you've got this enormous amount of choice and flexibility, and people just get sucked into it and they become a slave to it. The technology does become a slave to you. The technology is about you helping you build a membership community website, not for you to spend endless amounts of time looking at different plugins, and people just get sucked into it, folks. That's one of the main things, apart from building a decent business and income for myself. That this is the one thing I wanted from WP Tonic, to help people have the flexibility of WordPress, but don't get sucked in to this endless nightmare of looking for the best WordPress plugin or theme or whatever they're looking for.
And Jonathan, just, you know, break out the obvious in the conversation. This podcast is about podcasting, and what you're talking about with WordPress is part of the same issue with podcasting. There's a simple way to approach it. There's the minimal viable product to launch a podcast. And then there's all the fancy stuff that you can do with a podcast. And I think a lot of the failure, you know, that 80% failure rate, is a lot of people, they get in, they try something, and then they go, oh, well, I want to work on distribution, or I want to work on studio time, or I want to work on a fancy bumper or intro. And that's when they start to go down this rabbit hole, and maybe imposter syndrome takes over. Maybe they think they'll never be good enough, and they stop when they already had a minimal viable product they could have moved forward with.
You've just made a fabulous point there. Thank you for doing that, Kurt. Thank you for doing it. You're so razor right focused and right about that. It's got a lot of similarities. There's a lot of podcasting advice out there, folks, that encourages you to buy almost not quite professional studio quality equipment, but really encourages you to do that. And why do they do that, folks? They do it because they're affiliates. They've got affiliates linked, and they drive you to a $500 mic or a mixer or something, and they're going to get 30% of that $500. And it's the same in WordPress. There's a lot of people that YouTube channels and this and that, and they're driving you to affiliate links. And there's nothing, you know, but be aware that that's what they do. And you can get 80. I did my podcast with a mic that cost me, I'm going to be talking about it later on, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I bought a mic, and it's only recently that I have upgraded, and I run my podcast for 7 years on a very inexpensive mic compared to a lot of the other equipment that's pushed. So thanks for that. So we covered, do your research, target audience, what are going to be your key topics, and then what is the format? And the format is there are kind of structures that all podcasts adopt, and I've listed them out. The interview. I do another podcast and I have some interviews on this podcast. My other podcast, which has been running much longer, which is the WP Tonic Show, which is, it's mostly not toastly, but it's mostly interview based. Kirk is my regular co-host on that one as well. And we interview people. We also do a round table, but we interview almost all the episode and we have a monthly round table show. Another format is conversation. That's basically you have a co-host. There's some, and you just talk about what's going on in the industry or a topic similar to what we're doing here in this,
right here.
In this podcast. It's normally one or two other co-hosts, they're regulars, and they have a conversation. Educational, that kind of where you're, all podcasts in some ways are educational, but it's a much more focus about technique, about doing something. It's normally, that's normally better done on YouTube because normally you want to show stuff. That's hard to do in the format of just audio, but you can do it to some extent. And then you got the solo, that's just you talking. I've known some people that are really good. I can't do it. I just can't. I think you really got to script it out quite extensively if you're going to do that without
one of your favorites is a great solo podcaster, Rob Walling. Rob Walling does a lot of solo episodes.
He's
phenomenal. His content is so valuable that he can fill that time himself.
Yeah, I think he has people that he works. He has a whole team and they script it all out for him and they discuss it. There's a lot of it. But he's got about three or four full-time people. There's just me here, folks. I do all the donkey work. And Kirk helps out a little bit, but it's all down to me, isn't it, Kirk?
Really is.
All right. I don't think I do a bad job being it's me doing it.
No.
All right. Industry news, where you talk about in our other podcast where we do a monthly round table show, we talk about the industry news and tech news. So what my monthly round table show kind of covers that. So these are formats. And you really got to choose. There are some others, but I think the five that I've outlined are the main ones. Would you agree, Kirk?
I would. And I think one thing that is worth at least mentioning or bringing up in this conversation, Jonathan, is some people are listening to this and thinking maybe podcasting, but they're not sure how to define what success looks like. Success doesn't have to be driven by dollars and cents. It could be what's your strategy. For instance, mine is I'm all about branding and establishing myself as an expert in my fields, right? And exposing the circle of smart people that I know or associate with. So it wasn't really about generating revenue, but depending on your strategy and your definition of success, the things we'll talk about ongoing in this episode, you'll see that maybe you think are more important than others. Like if your main goal is to sell advertising or sponsor space or generate revenue, you might have something else you deem as more of a priority than something else we talk about.
Thanks. As audience growth, how do you build your audience? Obviously picking a niche and optimizing the title of the podcast, the thumbnail, pushing it to all the major podcasting networks like iTunes, Spotify, Google have changed a lot. They're really promoting podcasting through YouTube. It doesn't work that well, but they've changed their mobile platform. I think they closed it down. But iTunes is still big, Spotify is still big, and there's some others as well. And pushing it to all these major podcasting platforms is important. Having good thumbnail artwork to promote your podcast. Yep. And then social media is important. This year, I think I've upped my game on that a bit. I've been pushing my other podcast and using mostly Twitter to promote the podcast, the other podcast and this one. Probably not doing a great job on Facebook. I've kind of been pushing the Membership Machine Facebook group more. And that hasn't grown as much as I hoped, but I think I've been better in pushing it in the last few months, and hopefully that will, if I get better at it, that will start to see some more growth. And pushing it on LinkedIn, I'm doing a reasonable job. I probably could do a better job. I'm struggling with time and energy and motivation. I have mixed feelings about social media. I just don't want to get into arguments with people, but I've noticed other people manage to build their social media without getting into arguments. I think you can do it without avoiding it. So I'm going to spend December thinking about it and building a strategy for the new year around that. Email list. I've got a small email list. I send a newsletter. I found no effective way of building it. I wish I can find an effective way to build it. It's really important that you don't need a mega list of thousands and thousands, but you do want to see mythologies. Probably need to build out more lead magnets, build out more stuff in 205 that encourages people to sign up, and which I can promote the podcasts as well. That's probably something I need to think about.
The email list, if we could just hit pause for a second on emails. I think this is one of the most misunderstood sections of our conversation today. Because think of how many projects we get involved in, Jonathan, you and I, where people have zero list, nothing. You know, and we're building a CRM and a forum tool and all the stuff in the back of their WordPress website for them. And a lot of them have nothing. They're coming to the game with nothing. And you're going to see things from influencers out there that are going to say, oh, use this link and drive traffic to it and make, and it's like, how does that happen? And I think what Jonathan said is really key there. You have to create, you know, focused niche down messaging that drives to some type of lead magnet that says, you know, what's in it for you, right? So if someone's going to sign up and give you an email address, what's in it for them? Are they getting a white paper? Are they getting access to an exclusive episode of content? I mean, you really got to work it out, and it's not easy.
No, I've got one reasonable lead magnet on the WP Tonic. I need to produce some others, yeah. but it takes some of the effort to work out, but I need to add a couple more. Emails. It's really important, folks. If you need to have some decent lead magnets, but on the other thing, you've got to get traffic to your website to convert for yep. them to convert and get these lead magnets. That's a whole other topic. And I've had a constant battle with Google in 2024. I've done two steps forward and then one step back, then two steps forward and one step back. With Google in 2024, at the present moment, I'm in a real battle with Google at the present moment. Another area, going on other people's podcasts and promoting your own podcast. I was planning to do that. I've totally failed on that, folks. I either need to cut back my own podcasting so it gives me the bandwidth to go on other people's shows, or I've just found it really hard to motivate myself to do the donkey work of outreach to these people. It's extremely time consuming, finding the right people, finding the email, following you. I'm making excuses, folks. I need to motivate myself and just do it. That's another thing I've got to think of during Christmas and the new year, because it's really important. And share your podcast episodes. I've done a better job there as well. I think I've done a better job sharing the podcast than that.
And there's a part two to that. Anyone that you interview on your podcast, anyone involved in the making of your podcast, also needs to agree to share and promote the podcast. When you have a guest.
Yeah, they do. We had a guest on my other podcast about, not this week, last week, and she did a fabulous job of sharing it, and it showed she actually did share it. Most of the other guests, they're getting exposure to about 4,000 downloads a month, so about 4,000 WordPress people.
Yeah,
the majority of my guests are not generous people, and it's just the truth. They don't share. Some, about 20%, do, and it really shows, doesn't it, Kurt?
It does. You'll see the spikes.
Yeah, I probably need to get it. It's a difficult one. Maybe I just need to bring it up a few more times in their face to kind of motivate them a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, because remember, they're getting the benefit of exposure to your audience, and you're putting the spotlight on them by interviewing them. Because when you have a show, when you're interviewing people, it's not about how great you are. You're making how great the guest is. But the key to that success and growth in your own podcast is the agreement that guest will at least share it within their circles, that exposes you to their circles.
Yeah, I think it's me, because I do the work and I'm a plodder, but I don't give up. I am a bit tenacious, but I'm not pushy too much either. Sometimes I can come across as a bit pushy, but generally I'm not. What do you reckon? Am I right about that, or am I kidding myself?
I think it depends on the situation. Yeah. I remember that we were going to do that membership summit thing, and getting people to share their involvement in that was very difficult for you back then. I remember that.
Well, I had health issues, and also I'd taken other people's sponsorship, and I thought I had a responsibility. Yeah. It wasn't just my own money. I take my responsibility seriously. And also I was dealing with a major health problem, which I didn't inform the people that were working with me. Then I was dealing with another set of problems that occurred at the last while that really endeared me about the whole project. So, I think I had a few things on my plate in my defense, but I wasn't aware of how stressed out I was getting.
But I think what we're driving to is there's the work of sharing it yourself, but there's also getting the commitment from your guests to share. And if they don't commit, maybe you need a different guest.
Well, I've been on that. I brought in a consultant, and he had totally misled me. His whole business model was a sham. I'm not going to name names, but I had been warned about him. But I also did that because I thought I needed a consultant. Because I'd taken sponsorship, but he totally was a sham and he totally misled me. So thanks for bringing up that jurist memory, Kirk.
Sometimes we teach by sharing some of our
challenges. Thanks a lot for bringing up that jurist period in my life. You could always be like that. I'm just teasing him. We're going to go for our middle break now. And in the second half, we're going to be talking about the actual software equipment, all the stuff that you need to know about, based on my experience, that will enable you to get into podcasting. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back without a feast about how to start a podcast. I've also had a little jibe at Kirk. I've teased him as well. But he teases me as well. I deserve it. Like I say, we're going to be delving into the equipment. But before we do that, I just want to point out that we've got a fabulous free resource. If you're looking to build your membership website in the end of 2024 and the beginning of 2025, and let's face it, you just need to do it, folks. You can, you know, think about it until you're dead, but you need to do it. And this is a great time to start your membership website. But we've got a great resource, and that's the Membership Machine Show Facebook group. It's a mixture of WordPress people and people like you trying to build a membership website. It's totally free. If you've got any questions about the pod that come up in the podcast, you can just join that and put the question in, and me and Kirk will answer your question. So just go and join, folks, because it's a totally free resource. You'd be bonkers not to join it. So let's go into it, the equipment. Well, number one, you need a microphone. You know, it's like if you're going to knock nails into wood, you need a hammer, don't you? So the number one thing is a microphone. And basically, the easiest route, you can record on your phone. There's wireless mics. There's a lot of new equipment out there. But the three I'm going to be talking about here are the three that I think gives you the best quality for the money and that are the most easiest. The easiest route, if you're going down a traditional mic, i.e. you're not going to use your phone or a wireless, is utilize a USB mic. There's two kind of ways of doing it, USB or utilizing a mic that needs a mixer, which is an external device. I wouldn't go down the mixer route. I tried it when I upgraded a couple of months ago, and I found it painful. I just found it sucking time, and I don't want to become an audio engineer. I have no aspirations to become one. I'm just looking for something that gives me decent sound. I've got an audio editor. He's part of my team. He's been with me for 6 years, and he edits audio, and he does a really good job. When you listen, I think he does an excellent job. Would you agree, Kurt?
I would. And I think it's ironic that we're talking about that experience while the podfather of WordPress is in the comments right now.
Is he?
He says he's busting out the popcorn for this one.
Who's in? Oh, yes. Oh, Matt. Matt's in the house. He's the master. Matt is one of these audio Nazi types, bless his heart. Every time he comes on my show, he criticizes my audio. He's like the guy that I started off with, my first 100. He was an audio Nazi as well. But Matt is balanced. He's not a nutcase. My first host of my podcast wasn't totally with it, actually, Kirk. But no, so start off with a USB, and the first 6 to 7 years, I did it with an Audio Technica AT200, and it cost between $60 to $80, and I did over 1,000 hours of podcasting just with a $70 mic, and it was fine. I think until the end, my Mac, when I upgraded to my latest operating system, the sound quality started to go up, and that was more to do with the drivers. You haven't got total precise control if you're using a USB mic instead of a mixer board. But I don't want to muck around with a mixer board. It's got absolute no interest for me. So I decided to upgrade. But my sound until the end was pretty good with that $60 mic, wasn't it, Kurt?
Well, I would like to add that I am currently using a Audio Technica microphone.
Yeah.
And
is
now
it, this one?
You're listening to Smooth Jazz.
And it sounds great, doesn't it?
It does a good job. It does good
for the money. For the money.
And you gotta, you know, watch your positioning and be in front of the mic and all the normal things that would be important. But I think what Jonathan's talking about here is important. I started out recording through my phone, and then I tried one of those Lavelle mics,
Lapel.
I tried one of those, and it sounded like I was talking out of a tin can. Yeah, it was distracting how bad the audio was. And then I went to this ATR setup. I don't know if mine's a 2005. I thought it was a 2500. Maybe it's newer, but it's made a world of difference in audio.
I think I wasn't actually using this. There's another one. I think I was using the one up from this. I'm not sure, but I've still got it. Then I was having some sound problems with, I think it was when I upgraded the operating system on my Mac, and it didn't like, it was something to do with the driver, and especially how it was working with StreamYard, which we're going to discuss later on. It just wasn't working when I was having to muck around, and there's nothing like having to muck around with sound when you're just starting a podcast. You got enough things to concentrate on. So I looked to upgrade it, and the two that I looked at some mics that needed a mixer or amplifier. I was just amplifier, and that didn't really work for me. So I looked at these two USB, and the two I was looking at was the Rode PodMic, which I in the end did buy, and the Shure MV7. The Shure and Rode are ones. Shure is an American company. I think they're based on the outskirts of Chicago, and Rode is an Australian company, and they dominate the kind of semi-professional audio market to a certain degree. Rode makes some really great equipment and mixers, and Shure, almost all the big podcasters use generally Shure mics. They're not using USB. They go with the external powered mixer route. But the Rode I bought cost me $100, and I've been really happy with it. I think the sound's been pretty good, isn't it?
Sound's been great, yeah. And then I think the honorable mention.
Does the sound Nazi that's listening, does he agree? Does Matt agree? The sound Nazi. I'm already pulling your leg, Matt. He doesn't reply. Maybe he's busy. But the Shure is really popular. The only thing with the Shure, with these USB mics, and it's about 230 got, is that they've got some lights on the mic, and when you speak, they light up. And I don't like that. I find that's distracting when you're watching people on YouTube and that. And a lot of people are doing an audio YouTube setup, and I find that distracting. So I decided to go with the Rode, and I've been really happy. And like I say, you find it on Amazon around just below $200, folks. Yeah. But But like I say, you can start off with I would go the Audio-Technic if I was starting out, and you can get a really good mic off Amazon. A lot of the time they're on special offer and you can get it for $60, $70. A lot of people are doing a podcast, YouTube, and they're doing it. So a lot of people need a camera. You can use your phone, especially iPhone, and then if you've got a modern iPhone, the video camera is amazing. There's loads of people, you put it on a stand and you connect it through your lightning connector and you can use just your phone, and the quality is it's 4K, isn't it? Out of a 14, 15, 16 iPhone, it's 4K, isn't it?
My understanding, I'm an Android person myself.
Yeah. Well, they do some good phones in the Android world, don't they?
The takeaway with Android phones, just to bring in, if you're going to do long form content and lots of it, those Android phones can get really hot and overheat if you leverage them for a lot of video content. So something to pay attention to. Although they do work, you can also use an Android phone, like a non-connected free unlocked phone, as an auxiliary camera. You can do a multi-camera shoot and use your computer as a camera switcher, which is kind of nice. You can change the angles.
Well, I've got some technology and I bought it and I haven't used it for over 18 months. I'm just about getting this stuff out, right, with up to a certain quality, but I knock out a lot of stuff for one person. If you use a webcam, I'm using a professional camera, which I'm going to talk in a minute. I do have a backup and I use it for my one-to-one Zooms. That's a Logitech and it's a 4K Logitech and you can get it. I'm not actually, because the kind of YouTube, I'm not actually the recording software. The version I'm using, it doesn't give me 4K. But the equipment will produce 4K that I'm using. It's the platform which... but I do have a Logitech here and I could set it up with a multi-camera if I wanted to. And maybe that's something I need to actually get off my backside and do it. Because I've got the other equipment that would allow me to do it. You can use a webcam and Logitech. There's a load of other new players. There's one called Opal. I think Logitech, they've been around a long time. They do, some of theirs are 4K. Go with that. You could go, I used that for a number of years until I got a proper DSL camera, a mirrorless camera, which... recording this now. So you've got webcams, and the last thing is a DSL or a mirrorless camera. This is what I'm using now. I'm using a Canon N50 because I've had this camera now for about over 2 years. A lot of people in the podcast, YouTube, video are using Sony now. It's either Sony or Canon. There are some other, like Nissan, and there's a couple of other players, but Canon and Sony. A lot of people are using the Sony ZV-E10, but that will cost you $700. The Canon you can get for about $400. Body. These are just for the bodies, and with their... A lot of them do come with a camera kit, a lens kit. The problem is you're not going to probably be able to use the lens kit that comes with a camera. The one I've got a lens that was specifically designed for this close up, and the one that's most popular is the Sigma 16mm, and that cost me $600. The camera cost me about $600 and the lens cost me $600. I tried every other lens because I didn't want to cough up the $600 and I had to return them. And if you're going to do this close up, you're going to probably have to buy the Sigma. And if you're buying the Sony, that's going to probably cost you between $600 to $700. And the Sigma is going to probably cost that $600. So you're looking at $1,000, which is what I coughed up.
And if we could just be bold enough to drive back to one of our founding points, it's awesome to have the equipment and it's awesome to evolve and grow. But when you're getting started,
you can do it with
minimal viable product, something that has your image and your audio, and get going. Out of the two things, Jonathan, what do you think you found more value in, the audio or the video?
The audio, you can get almost 80% of quality with the Audio Technique, and you can get 80% of the video quality by using the Logitech 4K. And that will probably cost you between $90 to $100. And with that with the mic, plus with the webcam, you're probably getting 80%. And so you're looking less than $200. Yeah. And you'll have a setup where you can just get going.
Yeah. And if we're going to be super practical and realistic about what we're talking about here, that's a more than acceptable investment capitalization, especially because the equipment's also going to be used in your business Zoom calls and working remote and all those other things. It's not a single purpose.
Yeah, but you're going to need it anyway. Yeah. So
yeah, it's not a single purchase expenditure.
How are you going to record your podcast? There are apps that you can put on your phone. You've got to decide, is it going to be a pure audio recording, or are you actually going to video record it as well? Now, there are platforms that just do the audio. One that's been around quite a long time and has a track record is Zencastr. It's not the cheapest, being that it only does audio, but the guy behind it's a small start. Well, I think he does very well. I don't think it's small there, but it just does the audio, and you can, it runs on Mac, PC, it runs on your phone. I think it's got an app for Android and iOS, and it's a cloud base. It records it in the cloud, and you can edit it. I think also gives you editing software as well. I haven't personally used it, but I know a lot of podcasters that still use it and swear by it. I don't, because I'm doing a hybrid. I do the podcast, but I also push it to YouTube, to LinkedIn, anywhere I can get audience, I push it to. So if you're just doing audio, look at Zencastr. Hybrid of this, the next one that's in is Riverside. I haven't used it myself. You can start, by the way, Zencastr, you can start for around $20 a month. Riverside, they are a hybrid. They do what Zencastr does, but they've also provide the video side as well, and you can use to have your co-host record it. I don't know if they do a live feed as well. I should have checked that. They're pushed by a lot of podcasting platforms, Riverside. I just haven't used it. They've got a free product. How crippled it is, I don't know. The standard starts at $19 a month. You'd be able to do the audio, and they provide audio editing tools, and they also provide video editing tools as well. So it's a hybrid. The third one, I'm using at the present moment is StreamYard. Until a couple of years ago, I was using Zoom. You can use Zoom for this as well, by the way. I wouldn't recommend it. But if you're paying for Zoom, the paid version, your coffee, which I do, it costs just under 150, and you can use it to do this. And the audio quality isn't bad, and you can download it. I found their method of pushing out live to be painful. When I was using it, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. That's one of the reasons why I moved to StreamYard, because I got fed up with their live streaming methods. They just didn't work with YouTube that well, or the other social media platforms. That was a couple of years ago. I don't know if they have improved that.
I'm going to vote no.
No, it was painful. But if you're just doing an audio and you're downloading the video and you're going to edit it, you could just utilize Zoom, folks. I know Matt, the sound Nazi, that if he's still listening, will not agree with me, because some people just don't like the sound quality that comes out of Zoom, because they do compress it quite a bit. I'm using StreamYard, and I've been happy with it. Well, but the problem is they got bought out about a month, 2 months, and they've doubled the prices. I'm on an annual plan, one of their lower annual plans, and I put in my Canada when it runs out, and I probably will be jumping ship, because they doubled it, like from slightly under $30 a month, and I was paying yearly. And they've doubled it to slightly under $60 a month. And it's not worth $60 a month. And they're losing people left, right, and center. And if you go to StreamYard's website, they've removed all the pricing. It's only buried somewhere. That's all you need to know, that you can't find the pricing on the homepage. You literally got to dive into the thing, and they've just doubled everything, Kirk.
Yeah, but it works.
It works.
That's the hardest thing, is like I'm on the plan where I can have more than three channels, right? So I can broadcast to five channels at a time if I want. What I really like about StreamYard is you can set up bumpers and trailers. You can have videos and introductions play before your interview. I mean, you can almost, if you ran a live show and weren't dependent upon post edit, you could produce the whole show in StreamYard if you were prepared and had a strategy.
Yeah, I could. They have got a major competitor, and that's Evmax?
I just say Evmax. But I don't know if I'm right or wrong.
I wish they could just choose a bloody word for the company that's pronounceable. A lot of people jump in shit. They've got a basic plan for $25 and they've got the pro for $49. There's a number of experts out there. You're going to have to do a comparison. One that I might look at, because I'm a Mac person, is Ecamm, because I know a lot of people that got fed up with StreamYard and their doubling of their pricing are looking at Ecamm, but it's a Mac only and it's an app. But it does a lot of stuff. And that's standard at $20 a month or Pro 40. So the two, Evmax, however you pronounce it, or Ecamm, are probably the two that I'm going to be looking at. I know Matt has been looking, because he's got a big plan with StreamYard and they hammered him, because like I say, they've doubled all their plans. That's one of the things why you don't want to use these SaaSes, really. That's what the strength of WordPress, because these SaaSes always get greedy and they always hit you in the end.
But I will go one step further in the conversation. I, as you know, Jonathan, I'm an early adopter of some things, and I'll sometimes take chances. I have signed up for three or four different supposed, you know, webinar interview magic tools that were going to take the headaches out, and not a single one of them produced. Not a single one of them. So when you try something off brand. I think it's important when you're listening to this show, Jonathan is sharing the best, the creme de creme.
Well, they're only my choices. There's loads of these platforms, loads of cameras. Yeah. I'm just telling people the stuff that I've looked at and I've researched, and I thought, I'm not telling you I'm right. I'm just telling you, folks, this is the stuff I've looked at.
No, but you're focused on mainstream options, and there's all these other distractions, and a lot of these distractions don't work for what you're trying to produce. So if you try something off-brand or new or strange, try to keep one of the foundational pieces still in your arsenal so that when time comes to execute, you can still execute.
On we go. You're going to need somewhere to host your podcasts, because you can just push it from your computer, but it's a nightmare, folks. I say that, I think there's probably software that apps for your Mac and apps for your PC that then you can set up, and then it will push it to iTunes, Spotify. I can't be bothered with that. I use a hosting provider, and with the editor, the audio editor like StreamYard and the others, there's loads of these hosting providers, and they push it to these different platforms, and they push it through what is called a RSS feed. I'm not going to delve in that. I've got two duplicate feeds on iTunes, and I've spent the last 3 months trying to persuade iTunes to get rid of one of them, and they keep saying, well, if you could log in with the second one and provide us with the unique ID code of that feed, we'd get rid of it. Well, the problem is I don't know where the feed came from, and I haven't got the login details because I don't even know where it came from. So I've given up on them because they don't seem to understand English. Or they don't want to. So that can happen. But it's happened to me because I jumped one of the ones I'm talking about to the one I'm using at the present moment. And I use Castos, and I've been happy with it. I know there's a load of new players, but I've just been happy with it. I've stuck with it. He hasn't doubled his prices either, the guy that owns this company. And it works for me. There's other people that are using, like Riverside. I think a lot of people, I'm not sure, but because Castos actually pushes Riverside as the editor. I think, so they don't do the hosting, but they're in partnership with Riverside, actually, Castos. They've got a business arrangement. But they've got two plans. They've got a $19 Essential Growth 49 Pro. I think I'm on the Growth. I'm not sure. And I've been happy with them. The one I jumped ship from was Lipson. Lipson's been around for donkey's years. They price gouged you. They were like the one or two only players in town, and they had a terrible interface, which they never bothered to update for donkey's years. And they gouged, in my opinion, they gouged people a bit. And then players like Castos and other people came on the market, and they've revamped their interface now. It's a much more modern interface. And they offer a load. They've got a very elaborate pricing structures. I think they've simplified that now, and they've definitely lowered their prices. But moving from Lipson to Castos, that's why I think I've ended up with this ghost feed on iTunes. It's down to that. But I can't be bothered spending any more time on it. I'll probably have another go at it, try and sort it out. And then the last one is Blueberry, and they've been around donkey's years as well. And they're all around the same prices, these people. There's a load of other people that have entered this as well. I could probably do a whole show on that, but I think it would be a bit boring. And I'm just talking about the three main ones that I have some knowledge on. But you need to do your own research, folks, because there's a load of these players. There's some. Be wary, though, of those that are offering free. They're like people being bitten on the backside, because there's been a number of these hosting that offered free accounts, and then they've closed. They've decided to close the whole thing down or close the free thing, and you've got to move the whole thing. Be a bit wary. I don't think, don't go down the, try the free account just to see if you like it, but then pay for it, because you don't want to mess around with your RSS feed. Oh, blimey. That was a mouthful. What do you reckon? I think we've come to the end of the show. What's the last thing you want to point out to the audience before we end this? Because I think I've been talking a lot. I think I've done a reasonable job, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah. But I think the overall message for this episode is, you know, if you have any interest at all in podcasting, pursue it. Definitely pursue it. Have a plan, have a strategy. Define for yourself ahead of time what your format will be and what your version of success looks like. And from there, figure out how much of an investment do you want to make? How much time is it worth? What effort will you put in? And what's your schedule going to be? We didn't talk about schedules. Jonathan is very, very organized. You know, every Thursday, every Friday. Other podcasters like my Mañana Nomás show is whenever something of interest pops up. And so you have to know what's your version of success. My version of success looks different than Jonathan's version of success. The goals are different. So think it through and then execute. You got to execute. Jonathan, I'm just going to say it. And maybe I'm speaking for others, or maybe I'm speaking out of turn. But we talk to a lot of people that have an idea. We talk to a ton of people that have an idea.
Ideas are cheap. It's execution that matters.
And we talk to very few people that are going to buckle down, do the work, and get it done. And it's if you think it's easy, you've already made the first mistake. You got to put in the work. You got to have a strategy, and you got to come prepared. And then enjoy the fruits of the labor.
The other thing I want to point out is that you're not going to get a massive audience. The only way you're going to get traction is to look at a niche. It's like everything we said, because it's a niche, you're not going to get a massive audience. If you think you're going to get like a Rogan or some of these other massive podcasts, it ain't going to happen. Well, it's very unlikely it's going to happen.
You're famous from another avenue.
Yeah, but it's still totally worth it, because you can really build. I was listening to Professor Galloway of the Prodigy podcast. He's very influential, been a highly successful. And he says when people, he's on all the legacy media, radio, television, runs a really great podcast network, does about four or five different podcasts, enormously wealthy individual as well, highly successful. And he said when people approach him, he knows which medium they've approached, how they found out about him. Like, they approach him in a totally different way if they've seen him on legacy media or they've seen him on YouTube. He said if they're listening to his podcast, they approach him like they're actual friends.
Yeah.
That they've got this deep relation and they've never met at all. Or when they're on YouTube, it's like they know him, but it's a more casual. So these different mediums build a different type of relationship with the audience. The main problem with podcasting is it's not easy for people to give you feedback. That's one of the reasons why I like to do it live, because it gives a chance for people to join us and give us, and sometimes they join us depending on the guests. Other times, hardly anybody joins us, which I know other people are more successful about getting audience. It's something else I need to think about, why I'm failing. Because I know a lot of my audience is very passionate about the other podcasts, and I'm getting good feedback about this podcast as well. So if you want to support the show, please join. Please please join the Membership Machine Show Facebook group and leave your comments on that, because we love some feedback from you. And you've got any problems or there's any topics that you want us to cover, just tell us in that group and I will consider it, and we'll probably do a show on it. So, Kirk, what's the best way for people to join you, to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kirk?
LinkedIn's the jam. I'm on LinkedIn almost every day, one way or another, and I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. So if you make the connection there, it's going to recommend that you follow me, but also hit the connect link and we'll connect person to person and maybe have a conversation.
That's fantastic. And we'll probably do a show. I might be traveling next week, or probably be our last show. Because after that, we've got Thanksgiving. We won't be doing a show that week. And then in December, I'm taking a break. So we might do a show next week because I might be traveling or I might not. But hopefully we'll see you. If not, it'll probably be in the new year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it that much, but I'm not going to go into that. Business-wise, I think it's going to be a good year for WP Tonic, but I'm talking about other factors, which I will not bore you with. We will be back soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.